all America and all of our friends all over the world. You're listening to an exciting new edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Felipe Adinolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Elogi. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. Hey. Yeah.
So, how are you guys liking that early second wave?
Did we finish the first wave?
No, we never actually finished the first one. So.
Yeah. I think so. It's just everybody thinks it's the second wave because it kind of dipped out of everyone's consciousness for like a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then everybody
being on fire tends to do that.
Yeah. But yeah. So yeah, we are once again going to going into the garage and getting the keys because we got a fresh load from the COVID-19 dump truck to talk about this week. So, you know, get ready for that. But it was also the usual shenanigans that go up during this week because our government is still filled by assholes. The good part is King Donald the Mad decided to have, he wanted to, because he was so desperate to get out to do another one of his rallies because that's his thing. And so he went out to go and get into a rally and it bombed. It bombed spectacularly. Like, do you guys remember, because it seems so far ago and it's literally only been a little under 4 years ago, remember when he had his inauguration and they kept trying to inflate the attendance size of his inauguration?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
Even though
more numbers than Obama.
Even though you could clearly like put the two photographs side by side and clearly see that it was not as big a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Like barely, like it even barely got up to maybe even half the size of the crowd that Obama got. Obama's inauguration, I mean, the entirety of Main Street was filled with people for like a few miles at least. His barely filled a city block.
Mm.
But we'll be getting to all that later, and it's especially funny because he decided to pick it at one of the worst places you could pick it, on one of the worst days, at one of the worst times. And he somehow expected it to go off without a hitch. But there you go. But obviously there was some other stuff. Obviously the police reform bills that are going through Congress right now, the dueling bills. There's some fuckery going on with NASCAR. We also got some entertainment news, including a famous ride at Disney that is coming back, but being rebranded, and frankly with a much better movie.
Mm.
But before we get to all that, Phil, let us know what you've been up to this week.
So this week I'm still listening to Peter F. Hamilton's Salvation Lost. I'm about maybe 90% of the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I got about an hour or so left to go, so probably maybe end up finishing that tomorrow. Yeah, so that's been pretty enjoyable, and it's very strange. I think the older this guy gets, the weirder his writing is becoming. It's like, I don't think he genuinely gives a fuck about anything, really.
Yeah.
He just is writing the stuff that he likes to write, and, more power to him for that. But still, sometimes you're like, did you not have anybody edit this? Anyways, so that's been fairly enjoyable. Apart from that, I've been attempting to deal with the heat, because we've had quite a bit of it this week.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. I had one air conditioner in here, and it just kind of went, no, fuck you, I'm done. So, yeah, had to replace that, because that wasn't coping anymore. So I got another one in there. So hopefully this one will last the rest of the summer and not go, screw you. And apart from that, I've been trying to get out more and start doing some walking and take care of myself a little bit better. Being stuck in the house is, as it turns out, it's proving to be detrimental to a lot of people's physical and mental health. So, I've been trying to do a little bit better to get out and just, get some air, It's something which, apparently has some benefits. That's that. Although that very large ball of fire in the sky there is, it's amazing that it's there, and it's kind of scary sometimes. And it hasn't burned me yet, so I guess we're good for a while. So that's kind of been it for me for this week. I haven't done a whole heck of a lot. Just haven't had a whole hell of a lot of energy, to be brutally honest.
So yeah, the heat will do that.
Yep. Yeah. So what about you, Pat?
Yeah, I've been pretty much in the same boat. Yesterday was the absolute worst. What?
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, I still need to get this air conditioner installed, but, you know, it's one of those window units where it was clearly made just for vertically opening windows, and I've got nothing but horizontal windows in here. So I'm going to have to figure some things out to get that installed, but it's time. So that's going to be on my list of things to do. Other than that, I think it's mainly just been Phantasy Star Online 2. I really want to get into like streaming this game, but I got to do some setup first, and hopefully the weekend will give me the chance to do that. So, that's about it for me.
Okay. Teresa, what about you?
Also, Phantasy Star Online 2.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that. Some Animal Crossing. And just all my usual games. Civilization. Kingdom. Went through a campaign of that. And even still some Pokemon Go. And we've been watching season 2 of Castlevania, and it seemed like the series ended, but of course we know that it didn't, because season 2 isn't quite over yet,
mm-hmm.
and we still have season 3. I've been watching Grace and Frankie, which, you know, is just one of those things. That's really about it. I mean, it's just the usual stuff.
All right.
I don't think there's anything else that I've been watching or listening to that I didn't cover.
All right. Chris, what about you?
So I watched Watchmen, since I was free to watch last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really well done show.
Oh, yeah.
A really nice follow-up, and especially if you want to learn about things like the Tulsa Race riots.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. It's especially prescient on that stuff. They do a good job of kind of weaving in the Watchmen parts of it, showing you like how the world has evolved from like the original book and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And how some of that stuff was done, especially the like giant squid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. So Jeremy Irons does a really good job as Ozymandias.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it's a good full season, and well worth a watch. And yeah, they don't really need a second season, which is good since it doesn't seem like they're going to do it. So, I finished up the final season of She-Ra, which is just really good, really well done.
That show wraps up in just the absolute perfect way.
Yep, yeah, it does a really good job there, and definitely worth watching.
And, yeah.
Also watch Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga, I think is the full title. It's the new Netflix movie that features Will Smith, Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of telling the story of the Eurovision Song Contest, but this Icelandic duo that is not very good, but somehow manages their way into the contest through some crazy stuff that happens. It's got some fun stuff along the way, but it's also kind of a bit more of a serious movie, not super serious, but enough that it's not playing off things too much for laughs when it doesn't want to, but it's pretty fun, a couple hours. Then I also watched the other new Netflix thing that is Floor is Lava, which is their new, like, weird game show thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're aware of the concept of the game The Floor is Lava, where you try and, like, jump around your living room or whatever without touching the ground. It's kind of that concept, but they build it out into, like, actual obstacle courses. And the different episodes are based on different setups. So, like, the first episode is the basement, so it has some, like, basement-ese type stuff, some boxes and other things, and the floor is some, like, red liquid that is... and they just have, like, different furniture layouts, sometimes some, like, little wall climbing that you have to go across, that kind of stuff. We'll have occasionally some things like, oh, you pull on this rope and it changes something on the course that makes it easier to get around. And it's three people at a time that are working together to get around. And they try to get everybody to the end, or as many people as possible, as quickly as possible. I think it's three teams per episode. And so the one that gets the most people in to the end in the fastest route wins $10,000. I've gotten through two episodes so far, and it's pretty fun, though some of the teams are kind of obnoxious. Mm-hmm. I think on the first episode there's a group of either triplets or three guy friends who are all wearing, like, American flag like tank tops, and are all just making dumb references constantly as they're trying to get through this course, which is good that they fucking lose. And it's like some people actually play up that the weird liquid on the ground is actual lava. It's like when somebody falls into it, they kind of sink under, and people are like, no! Like, they're actually burned up by lava, whatever. But, yeah, it's a pretty alright show. Mm-hmm. Not too bad to kind of spend a little bit of time with. Watch a couple episodes and then move on. But yeah, I played a little bit more of The Last of Us Part 2. I think I just got to the point where we got past the fuck Fedra wall. So that's kind of where I'm at. And yeah, still liking it. It was really nice to kind of explore that whole big area and find a lot of extra resources and such, and get a chance to play around with the guitar stuff. Because they get a couple areas where you can kind of actually play around with the guitar, which you can use R1, L1 to kind of swap between, I'm guessing, like, different sets of notes.
Yeah.
And the there's enough kind of detail in the way you can mess with the touchpad that you can kind of go string by string, or you can just sweep across to do them all. But you can. There's a lot of videos on YouTube of people trying to recreate songs.
Yeah.
In there,
a lot of people doing Hurt.
Yeah. But you do get a little bit of singing from Ellie herself, which is pretty well done. It's a nice moment. Yeah, I think one of the things that are secretly, like, one of the best parts of that game is the way they make the bricks and the glass bottles actually more useful than just for, like, stunning enemies.
Yeah.
Because you often have to use them to break glass to get into some areas that, you know, there's no other way to get through.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff is pretty well done.
Yeah.
Also, when you can just kind of go up to the windows and just kind of use your knife and just break them that way too. Because there's like a little food shop that's you can break into in this area. And at a certain point, I was like, well, I was trying to use the knife on these like fridge that they have some stuff in, and that which really shouldn't be breakable with a knife because it should be plexiglass, not actual glass, but.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing there, but yeah, that's been good so far, and I've been continuing to play some more Rocket League as I work through that the current Rocket Pass, which they just announced their 5th anniversary event that starts on the 30th, which is Tuesday. Goes for about 2 weeks, has a bunch of stuff to unlock and all that, so, and I think even among the items that you can unlock are, like, actual tiers for the Rocket Pass, so you can, if if you've gotten everything else, you can kind of work your way through, add some more levels to your Rocket Pass for free, which is pretty nice stuff. But yeah, that's been kind of it. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, yeah, I am still playing The Last of Us Part 2. I am now on Abby's portion of the story. After the 3 days in Seattle, you then end up switching over to Abby. And, oh boy! Man, it sure is something when you suddenly switch characters and you realize that all those people you just shot through this whole game actually had their own lives and family and names. They had plans and dreams and all that shit. Even the dogs. Because, yeah, you have to, I mean, it's been made clear by this point, but yeah, you know, the Wolves, you know, the Washington Liberation Front, they, you know, they have, you know, trained dogs that they use to sniff people out, and you have to do something about them because they will tear you to pieces very quickly if you let them. Like, arguably, they are one of the strongest enemies in the game. But it turns out a lot of them have names, too. In fact, the very first, one of the very first dogs that you end up, in fact, I think it's the first dog that you end up having to kill in the game actually has a name. His name is Bear. Oh, and when you switch over to Abby's part of the story, when they're getting ready to, you know, go out on, you know, because they're getting called out to the front. Because, you know, the Wolves, they're basically locked in a civil war. They're sort of locked in a civil war with the Seraphites, which are, or the Scars, which are that weird religious cult that you run into. And before you do that, you have to go get one of the dogs out of the pen, and you go up to the kennels where all the dogs are kept. The dog you end up letting out ends up being the same dog that you have to kill before, you had killed shortly before. But as for Bear, well, Bear is there too, and you actually get to play fetch with him.
Hmm.
Yeah, but otherwise, fucking hell, game is amazing. Like, it really is. It is. I now really do understand, though, why this game is getting such polarized reactions from people, because on the one hand, this game is incredible looking. It is very well written. The gameplay is really solid. The world building that they put into this is incredibly stellar. The attention to detail and everything is just amazing. On the other hand, it is heavy, heavy shit. Like, it really is. I completely understand why people don't like playing this, because there is shit that you end up, that you have to do in this game that is, it is very uncomfortable. There are moments in this game that will legitimately make you feel dirty afterwards.
Wow.
Because it's just so fucking brutal. And much as was the case with Spec Ops The Line, this isn't a game where you're only on one side of it. You actually end up having to see the consequences of all your actions and what you've done up to that point. And it doesn't hold back at all.
Well, clearly.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to say, all those people who complained about, like, how Abby is obviously supposed to be a trans woman, you can obviously tell none of those people have actually met a woman, like, in real life before. Like, ever. Because Abby is not only all woman, she's muscular and shit, because that's what a muscular woman looks like, dude.
Yeah.
Wait, you're saying they're not all looking like dead or alive women?
No.
Exactly.
That's not how physics works.
Yeah. When women get all buff like that, you know, a lot of times they get, well, for one thing, they end up being flat as a board because, you know, all of the tissue that's in boobs is mostly fat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not necessarily true 100% of the time, because there are definitely exceptions to the rule, but, you know, Abby specifically works out like a bodybuilder because she wants to be able to crush skulls, and that's what they end up looking like. By the way, unlike with, like, when you're playing with Ellie and you're, like, having to sneak up on people and, like, get them with a pocket knife, Abby doesn't bother with a pocket knife. She just straight up snaps their necks.
Just murks them.
Yeah, yeah. Because unlike Ellie, Abby is a 100% professional. You know, she's had, like, actual honest-to-God military training. So she plays like someone with actual honest-to-God military training. But, anyway, so, other than that, I went and, downloaded the Jak and Daxter collection, because it had been a while since I'd played the Jak and Daxter games, and, yeah, I mean, those games are still what I remember. The first Jak and Daxter is a game that is very great in its ideas, and is still somewhat unpolished in parts, I think. Anybody who's played, like, the Jak and Daxter games, the first one is very, very different from the other two that come after it. Because the first one is very much like an old-school style character action game. And then you get to the second game, and it shifts tone with almost fucking whiplash. And then because, you know, that was around the time when, you know, GTA and shit was taken off, they decided they had to have, like, a GTA-type portion of the game. So there's lots of, like, vehicles and carjacking and shit. Jak 3 is definitely better than 2, but honestly, I love all three of those games. Also, I think the racing game is also on that collection, too. I just haven't started it yet. But that game is definitely also worth playing. Let's see. Other than that, my dad had his birthday this weekend. He wanted to go out for Chinese food, and so we went out for Chinese food. And that's when I discovered they've actually got a secret menu at the local Chinese place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So here's the thing about American Chinese restaurants, if you've ever been here. Anybody who's been outside the U.S., ever been to the U.S. and had Chinese food here. The Chinese food, of course, that we have here in the U.S., the stuff that we typically associate with China, like General Tso's chicken, chop suey, crab rangoon, egg rolls, all that stuff, not actually from China. It's mostly stuff that either has its origins in China that's like of a different kind of preparation, or it was just something that Chinese cooks made up on the spot in places like New York or San Francisco. Chop suey in particular is a good example of that. But pretty much since Chinese restaurants started in the U.S., most of them also have what they call what some people usually call the secret menu, but what it actually is it's the menu that's usually in the in Mandarin, specifically for Chinese customers, so that they can prepare them like authentic Chinese food instead of the stuff, you know, they're given to the white people. along with the usual helpings of General Tso's and, you know, house fried rice, we had a generous bowl of chicken feet. You know, Phoenix talons.
Yeah,
that shit was good. That was some good shit. Gotta watch out for the bones, though. Yeah, Phoenix House of Chicken Feet, they have these itty-bitty little bones in them, so you have to be kind of careful when you eat them. But they're good either way. And other than that, mostly me just trying to stay out of the heat, because there ain't no heat like Southern heat. It ain't a dry heat, that's for sure. But yeah, that's pretty much it. You guys got anything else you want to move on to before we
Well, did we get to Teresa?
Yeah, we did Teresa already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm out of it right now. It's
yeah.
been a fucking week.
Just a whole lot of PSO is all I've been doing, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As you can tell, the heat has kind of affected all of our brains this week.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's kind of, in Canada especially, the heat, it's kind of going through an unusual heat wave, which, don't get me wrong, Canada has gone through heat waves before, but they're rare. So usually whenever they hit that part of Canada, it's, well, nobody there is prepared for them.
Yeah.
Not like, yeah.
Too
much of a difference, you know, from negative 30 to like 99.
Yeah. So, with that out of the way, I think it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And, I thought we would bring, just very briefly go back in the past to something from our childhood that I think was maybe not necessarily part of my childhood, but was definitely part of your childhood if you were a girl. And, you know, obviously if you were a boy who was into that kind of thing, well, it was probably part of your childhood too, but let's be honest, this was the 90s and it was not as an enlightened time. Two words. Lisa Frank.
Oh, here we go.
Teresa?
Yes. Yes, I was a little old for it, but still indulged.
Oh, yeah.
Not nearly as much as I did with Hello Kitty in like, 85.
Yeah. So, I guess maybe very, very quickly we'll just tell you what Lisa Frank was. Well, first of all, Lisa Frank was, of course, a person, an individual whose name was, in fact, Lisa Frank. She was a pop artist from, I think it was in Arizona. Yeah, I think it was in Arizona. Like I said, she was a pop artist, and she specialized in these very... I honestly do not know, like, what the kind of... what words in the English language could accurately describe how unbelievably fucking gaudy everything she did looked like.
It was just Lisa Frank, man. I mean...
It was imagine school supplies that had been vomited all over by a unicorn.
That's accurate.
And that's Lisa Frank. And it wasn't just like Lisa Frank did one kind of thing. The type of stuff that she did, there were like all kinds of features and stuff. She did like, if you've, let me put it this way. If you've ever been into vaporwave music before, and you watch like a vaporwave like anthology or something like on YouTube, and you started seeing all these grappies. if you started seeing all of these graphics that involved like grinning big-eyed unicorns and dolphins and rainbow-colored music notes, that was basically Lisa Frank in a nutshell. She was to American to school supplies what Thomas Kinkade was to painting.
Yeah.
And by the way, I found out where it was. She's from. She is from Tucson. Which in fact is where they were headquartered at. Her Lisa Frank Incorporated company. So the company originally started in 1979, Frank herself basically used her unusual artistic tastes, if that's how you want to put it, to designing images for most famously school supplies. So, you know, backpacks, trapper keepers, pencil sharpeners, notebooks, shit like that.
So many folders.
Oh, so many folders. So many folders. And Trapper Keepers. Do kids still use Trapper Keepers?
No.
Do we need to describe what a Trapper Keeper was? Because...
A really well-equipped binder.
Yeah, basically that's what a Trapper Keeper was. It was a binder that you could put your notebooks and your notebook paper and all kinds of other shit in. And close it shut, usually with, like, Velcro or strings or something. Let me put it this way. To say that her work was, that by the early 90s her work was ubiquitous, is to say that the Pacific Ocean is damp. her stuff was just everywhere. It was ubiquitous. It was so 90s. Like, when people think of the 90s, at least 50% of it is going to be, you know, rainbow-colored unicorns and shit because of this woman and her company. It would probably also not surprise you that she was crazier than squirrel shit.
Okay.
A little bit of background to here. So when Lisa Frank Incorporated was founded, she co-founded it with her husband, a guy by the name of James Green, who was also the CEO. James Green was... Let me put it this way. They've talked to a bunch of people who used to work at Lisa Frank back in the 90s, and to a man, basically every single one of them compared working at Lisa Frank to, like, being stuck in an abusive alcoholic home. So the shit that they did included, like, secretly recording phone calls, reading and redirecting and deleting emails, like, at will. Either to monitor employees or each other, you know, as their marriage frayed. If you were working, you were absolutely forbidden from talking to each other, even if you were sitting next to each other. One of the most infamous things about this was Lisa Frank would occasionally put out a memo that she actually gave them titles. They were called Frankly Speaking.
Doesn't that make you want to shoot someone?
Mm-hmm. it's one of those things where as her marriage with Green, like, increasingly frayed, she started, like, putting these increasingly more and more, like, restrictive rules in the workplace. When it came to speaking to Green, or even saying that you could not have family members ever drop by to the place, ever. You could either abuse, or you would get verbal abuse, or you would just end up firing. In one particular instance, one employee said that they had one of the employees had left 10 minutes earlier than their shift was to end. So after that, the Frank and Green would basically just padlock the doors.
And this?
That can't have been legal even back then.
Well, like, yeah. I said, remember, this is Tucson we're talking about.
This is also why you never work for a family company.
Yeah.
Ever.
They ended, Lisa Frank Inc. in several magazines respective to Arizona, basically want every ranking of, like, best and worst in places to work for. They always end up getting the worst. Oh, it gets even better, because guess what? Say you were fired or you just quit because, I mean, let's be honest.
They were batshit insane.
Yeah. That didn't mean you were done having to deal with these people, because a lot of times these guys had to sue the company to get their final paychecks. One employer claims that she would hear the screaming voice of Lisa Frank down hallways when she was screaming death threats at sales managers because they would make a mistake in a presentation. James Green was known to throw chairs around the office. Did I mention that by this point he was heavy into cocaine use?
Well, he had enough money for it.
Yeah.
Good.
So eventually what ended up happening is Frank and Green split.
Yeah.
They accused each other of cheating on the other. Accused each other of running the business into the ground. Then they were in court for like a decade after that. I mean, Frank eventually won that case for the rights to the company, but I mean, there wasn't really much to do at that point. Let me put it this way. So back in the 90s, Lisa Frank Inc. was clearing like $90 million a year. Yeah. That's a lot of moolah.
Yeah.
And if you've ever, like, seen, like, pictures of that of, like, Lisa Frank Inc.'s headquarters, which looks like... It's like a combination of Hello Kitty and corporate hell. It's like this enormous building that looks like it belongs in a theme park instead of, like, an actual corporate office. In 2017, you know how much revenue the company got?
How much?
$2.3 million for the year.
I'm more surprised that they were still around at that point.
Yeah. You know how many employees they had at their height as far as numbers go? They had 350.
Oh, my God.
You know how many they have around now?
Like none.
About 6 or 7. They still work out of that corporate space in Tucson, but the majority of it is like a fucking ghost town.
That's something.
Like, half of it is like the warehouse graveyard where My Little Pony goes to die. Yes. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Yep.
Yeah. I was never aware of any of this, and yet it is absolutely glorious in its shitshowness.
Oh, yes. As for James Green, by the way, he actually started up another graphics company for like school supplies and clothing and shit. But he did it basically the worst way that all awful human beings do, in that he became a born again Christian.
Oh, okay. Because
so it's not
he was
just
a dust head already at that point, so that's kind of the natural next step.
So it's not just it looks like unicorns threw up all over the shit. No, it's got Jesus-y stuff on it as well.
Well.
Well, anyway, with that, it's now time to move on to the show proper. And as always, we have to start off with our assholes of the week. And our biggest asshole of the week is probably Attorney General Bill Barr, who tried to fire the U.S. attorney for the SDNY, Mr. Berman, because he was investigating all of Trump's cronies. But to Attorney Berman's credit, he refused until his former deputy could take his place.
Yep. Yeah, so SDNY is Southern District of New York, basically around New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he basically said because he was never like officially appointed through Congress, mm-hmm. that he could not be fired directly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially because they put out the notes that he had resigned before he even knew it. Mm-hmm. He found out on Twitter that he had resigned.
And he called that shit out.
Yeah.
Good.
But yeah, they were going to put somebody else up as his replacement that had never been a federal attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically put up a big stink on that, as well as the other people around him, until they relented and they're putting his deputy in place. Let's see what her name is. It's Audrey. Let's see, where's it at in here? I forget what her name is. But yeah, she is going to be continuing and basically has no plans to like stop any of the investigations going on into Trump or any of his Jeffrey Epstein or any of those people. Yeah, so very much should definitely be... and now this guy's not there, I saw a good point. It's like, okay, Congress can now talk to this guy. Find out what the hell was going on, what he was looking into, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Now that he is no longer appointed to this position. Yeah, it's Audrey Strauss. Is going to become acting U.S. attorney for SDNY.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have seen Bill Barr like doing some of his speaking there.
Yeah.
This guy, he's... Well, let's be honest here. He's about as authoritarian as they come. He's clear what his agenda is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is not hiding anything he's doing.
Nope.
Because he knows he's got the job for at least the next, you know, 6-7 months.
Yeah.
Until Trump is out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, he'll probably try to flee the country.
Probably.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, somebody pointed this out to me. I think I mentioned this last week, but I'll go ahead and mention again. If during the week that the election starts and you hear news that Melania and Barron are currently vacationing in Europe, that's a good 6-to-1 chance that Trump is planning to flee the country at any moment. So,
yep.
So, yeah, just watch out for that. I mean, I know that sounds like too sensational to be true, but if there's anything about this president we've realized is that what we considered sensational, too sensational to be true, wasn't sensational enough.
Right.
But anyway, Orr wasn't the only asshole we had this week. There was another asshole who decided during the Black Lives Matter movement that's been going on through the last few weeks, one asshole decided to get one of those custom-made signs that you can fly behind an airplane and decided to fly over a kid's soccer game with the with the words White Lives Matter.
That wasn't a kid's game. It was over in Europe. Yeah, Manchester City game against Burnley.
Yeah, so this was like an actual football game. Okay.
Yeah. It was a supporter for the team that had, you know, obviously made Black Lives Matter support statements, that kind of stuff, and they were doing a special start to
now
do knees.
Now this is
the
all
game.
Starting to make more sense.
Then at the same time, there was a sign that said White Lives Matter, Burnley at the end, flying over the game, and obviously the coach and some of the players that spoke afterwards were basically like, yeah, there's some asshole here that decided to think that this was a good idea, and they had a police investigation into it. There was nothing illegal about what was going on, but his company that he worked for, a company called Paradigm Precision, fired him once they found out who he was. And his girlfriend has also had her employment terminated in relation to posts she made on social media. Mm-hmm. So they're a pair of couple shitheads, essentially, that lost their jobs as a result of this stunt, as well as the money that it cost to rent out this plane and all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you think that sports culture in the U.S. is bad, boy, you ain't seen nothing yet until you've gotten into hoodlum culture.
Yeah, when you got
hooligan culture.
These various soccer teams all across Europe that happen to employ black people. Because a lot of great soccer players are black people.
Yeah. And like the ultra clubs that are all over Europe, a lot of them are filled up with a bunch of angry white skinheads, and that ends up going exactly the direction you expect they go. But on the flip side, there's also a bunch of other ultras that are very much on the far left, and not unusual to see them waving around banners with like sickles and hammers on them. So it kind of evens itself out. And as far as like violence is concerned, as far as like actual violence during games is concerned, the worst that's ever happened here in the U.S. was either that one riot that happened at that basketball game, and that time a bunch of Philly fans started throwing batteries at the players. Over in Europe, they will straight up just throw fucking darts at each other. Yeah.
They don't joke.
No, they do not fuck around. Next up in assholes, the Louisville officer that shot and killed Breonna Taylor, he has been fired from the force, but he has not been charged with anything yet.
Yep. So there's still work to go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, on the one hand, I know, you know, it sucks because, you know, it feels like we need to get this. Because it's like, if anything, this dude is a flight risk, right?
Yeah.
But the thing about shit like this is, I guess the state, if it's actually trying to have, like, prosecute a case, it tries to do everything it can to dot its I's and cross its T's and shit before it goes out there, because you know the police union's going to fucking try and pull every goddamn thing they can.
Yeah.
But, yeah. By the way, speaking of police unions, a bunch of major, like, labor conferences here in the U.S. have actually been expelling the police unions from their groups.
That's good.
Yeah. But, anyway, speaking of officers behaving badly, over in North Carolina, three different officers were fired after somebody caught them making some heinously racist comments on tape.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's North Carolina, people. Look out.
Wilmington, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
They had footage of from one of the patrol cars that were showing them exchanging various racist and threatening remarks. One of them said they were ready for a civil war against black people. Let's see if there are quotes here of what they actually said.
Oh, yeah, it's really gross, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they do. But, yeah, one of them was talking about, let's see, two of them were said to be captured using the N-word multiple times. Fiskars also said one of them referred to anti-racism protesters as worshipping blacks. And Pioneer said he expects a civil war and was planning to buy an assault rifle. You know, and this this whole incident kind of just tells me, like, we should be recording everything they say in and around their vehicles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mandates recording this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they're on work property.
Yep. Because it matters.
It makes it easier to point out the bad apples.
Yep.
Yeah. Ha! It makes it easier to point out the few good apples.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's what it feels like. I shouldn't be so jaded, but it really...
No, you are more than right to be jaded.
Well, I mean,
if the events of the last few weeks have shown us anything, it is that if you being jaded is not only completely justified, it's pretty much should be the fucking standard.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, a couple things here. Moore referred to a magistrate who is black as a Negro magistrate. Pioneer said he's ready for a civil war. According to investigators, Pioneer said, using the N-word, that we're just going to go out and start slaughtering them. God, I can't wait. Pioneer is also reported to have said. And he also said he plans to buy an assault rifle and that society needed a civil war to, quote, put him back about four or five generations.
Jesus Christ.
The Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League warned everyone about a decade ago that the white supremacists and skinheads and neo-Nazis were actively recruiting to go out into police and the military.
Yeah. I remember seeing
there's
a like a protest going on with the KKK, and the police were absolutely protecting them.
Well, I mean, they kind of have to do that.
Yeah, but it's also like they did not have as many cops there as they would if they were, you know, black people protesting. Which obviously is the joke of you know why there's less cops, because some of them are in the KKK.
Yeah.
Those that work forces, blah, 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 blah. You know the lyrics.
Yep. Yep.
The Venn diagram between the KKK and the police is mostly a full circle.
Yeah. If the red circle represents police and the blue circle represents the KKK, you're looking at a purple circle.
Yeah.
Anyway. But, it isn't all bad news. We do have our Heroes of the Week, and our Heroes of the Week, amongst other things, is the state of Minnesota. The state of Minnesota this week sued both Exxon and Koch Industries, accusing them of, quote, a 30-year campaign of deception on climate change.
Yep.
That might be light.
Very. Very. But so I think they've been,
a lot of these companies have been doing it since the 50s and 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep. And I hope that other other nations, other superpowers, I don't know if we're still a superpower, start doing the same thing. I mean, not that big coal is still a thing in the UK, but they certainly had a lot of trouble there. And yeah. Back in the day, they knew. I mean, they were saying it's documented. They're like, this could cause some problems. Well, not just immediately, but in the future.
I mean, like big coal isn't, but British Petroleum is.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But, yeah, they have, I mean, it's pretty well known now that, the Exxon in particular and Koch Industries especially are known for, like, basically creating all of these specific think tanks specifically to create junk science to support their positions.
Yep.
And they actively, like, create various organizations to further their cause. So, yeah. Speaking, by the way, of campaigns of deception, a former, and because he's not listed here, I'll go ahead and put him out now. A former executive for a life insurance company, a major health insurance company, came forward this week admitting that him and his company, when he was working there, took part in an 18-year-long campaign of deception trying to basically deceive people about the nature of Canada's single-payer healthcare system.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but he has like a whole thread on Twitter where he basically states the fact.
Oh, yeah, he aired so much dirty laundry that it's probably going to be taking months to unpack it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that I know in my personal life that I'd like to forward every single word of that to.
Yeah.
Because they've used it as an argument to keep the bullshit that we have here going.
Yeah. And like I Phil, being that you're Canadian, you've probably heard a lot of this shit before too, haven't you? Like the long lines, the death panels.
Yeah, and maligning the NIH as well.
Yeah.
Over in Great Britain. It is just such bullcrap.
The fact that you guys have taxes that are prohibitively high.
Not that much higher than us.
Actually, in some cases, in some state cases, lower. You actually end up paying more taxes in California than you do in all of Canada.
Yeah. I would also expect that where I live in DuPage County, that my taxes are considerably higher than even Ontario.
Yeah. And keep in mind, when you buy stuff in Canada, you're taxed twice, and it's still lower than in parts of the U.S., so... Yeah.
I don't, like, whenever I buy things and it's .ca, I don't care. If it's what I want, I'm going to buy it because it's not that much more.
Yeah.
I guess it would probably add up, like, every time you're buying toilet paper and whatever, but you're also not paying our healthcare costs, too.
Also, also keep in mind that right now in Canada, they're paying everybody $2,000 for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah. So,
you have to apply for it.
But. I mean, yeah, you have to apply for it, but it's there.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you don't have to go through as many bullshit hurdles as we did here. But
no, yeah. Trudeau's kind of been getting a little bit of heat for that. Because the allegation is that they've been saying, well, just look the other way when people apply. On the one hand, that does facilitate people who probably shouldn't apply for this getting it. But on the other hand, it does make it easier for people who actually do need it to not have to go through a huge process.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. If you ever hear anybody saying that up there in Canada, just tell them, hey, look southward.
Yeah.
See,
you
that?
You want to be like that?
You want to be like this?
Yeah. And it's...
And maybe you do better and hold your tongue.
Yeah.
It's
because
also
here, I mean, we have both. We have both options. That's what I don't understand about the resistance in the U.S. It's like, we have the nationalized healthcare too, but we also have private clinics if we want that option.
Yeah.
So,
see, we like this thing where we pretend we like choice while removing all choices.
There's no choice. Have any of you had fucking health insurance? There's no choice.
Your choice is basically made depending on what part of the country you're in, because pretty much they, much like the cable companies, they basically have fucking monopolies in different regions of the country.
Yeah, they kind of divvied it up amongst themselves.
Every time you change jobs, and you do need to do that pretty often, job hop in order to get your salary to go up, otherwise you stagnate. Every time you change jobs, you got to get a whole new set of doctors.
Mm.
It sucks. There's no fucking choice.
Yeah. As John Oliver said, you have a choice of how you want to get fucked.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
But,
hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're like paying
out
the ass
for it.
Sorry,
I just had to bring that out. We're all bitching because we're American.
Yeah.
We're good.
And well, we have to deal with all the shit.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, moving on from there, our other heroes of the week are NASA, because they are naming the new D.C. headquarters after Mrs. Mary W. Jackson, who was, I believe, the first African-American woman to work for them.
Their first African-American female engineer.
Yeah. And a lot of her work is, I believe, still used by NASA, a lot of the calculations and stuff.
Yeah, she started in the Segregated West Area Computing Unit of the agency's Langley Research Center in Hampton, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
She was a mathematician, aerospace engineer, led programs influencing the hiring and promotion of women in NASA's science, tech, engineering, and mathematics careers. Mm. And, 2019, she was posthumously awarded the Congressional Gold Medal.
Mm. Yep.
So, yeah, one of the Hidden Figures crew.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Awesome on NASA for doing that. All right. Beep, beep, everybody. Here comes the COVID-19 dump truck to start off the proper show proper. First and foremost, coronavirus cases in the U.S. have hit a new one-day high. And basically causing a bunch of the states that were reopening to basically backpedal. It's like, we're going to shut some of the shit back down. That was a bad idea, even though everybody fucking told us that was going to happen in the first place. But knew we had to be such big men about it.
Yeah, we hit a new high of 37,077 people being reported for Thursday. I assume it's higher today. But yeah, we've got over 2.4 million people infected here in this country with 124,000 dead as of Thursday, which is, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. How high it is compared to everybody else.
Specifically Canada!
Yeah.
See, this is why all my money is in Beijing right now.
Yeah. Brazil is number two with about half of what we have, 1.27 million. And, Russia's a distant third, about 619,000.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I saw something that was basically showing the cases for the U.S. versus Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And Europe's, had a peak, a big peak, and then went way down. Ours went towards a peak, dipped a little bit, and then just going right back up now. Especially as the weather has gotten better. People going out and people acting like there's no issue anymore.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I know people are thinking like, it probably wouldn't you happy if all these people getting out protesting. All the people protesting, if you ever saw those pictures, most of all of them were wearing masks and trying to social distance. Okay, they weren't stupid.
Yeah, there's a link for the comparison between the U.S. and EU for their 7-day rolling averages.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one that's kind of split it up by state as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see, like, Arizona's gotten a huge spike, Florida, California, Texas, a lot of our states that have the most population.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's those places fucked up.
God, yeah. If you look at this graph, like, the blue line is America, the black line is Europe, the entirety of Europe, and... Wow.
It's pretty bad for us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're like, second wave never goes down.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like, there can't be a second wave if you don't let the first one end.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll talk about Trump's strategy.
Something, mm-hmm. something, modern problems, modern solutions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trump's has a very novel solution to reducing the numbers.
Yeah, he suggested just reduce the number of testing.
Well, yeah.
Just so we're clear on this, that's a crime against humanity, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's cooking the books.
Mm-hmm. It's cooking the books, like...
I mean, that's what Pence has suggested, that the governor should make up numbers that make them look better. But some of them have been just showing the actual numbers, which look way worse. It's like, I think Pence meant to make them look better, not worse.
Yeah.
This is why you don't need a con man, a businessman as a president.
This is also why the EU recently voted to basically prevent all American travel.
Yeah.
For the time being.
We're danger to them.
Yeah.
Danger to everybody at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as governors behaving badly, well, you know Texas was getting ready to have that big opening.
And, yeah.
They started opening the bars and the restaurants. And then the numbers just exploded, and Governor Patrick basically had to roll it back,
Governor Abbott.
Oh, Governor Abbott, sorry.
It's Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
Yeah, they're both...
He's just such a loudmouth that everyone thinks he's governor.
Yeah. they're basically like, yeah, sorry, yeah, we kind of dropped the ball on this one.
Sorry, like, we fucked up.
Yeah, as he says here, at this time, it is clear that the rise in cases is largely driven by certain types of activities, including Texans congregating in bars. The actions in this executive order are essential to our mission to swiftly contain the virus and enhance public health. Which I believe, let's see, outdoor gatherings of more than 100 people must now have the approval of local officials. River rafting and tubing businesses are also shut down. Bars are restricted to delivery and takeout services, as well as restaurants. Restaurants cut back on dine-in service, operating at only 50% capacity, effective Monday, presumably able to fill dining rooms at 75% of normal capacity occupancy. And it's like, that's not great either. But yeah, we saw the Florida had some areas. Florida as a whole is not going to require masks because DeSantis doesn't want that. Doesn't want to look like a competent governor. And so local areas have had to, and I sent you guys a video of that the other day, of a woman who basically accused the committee that was proposing this of working with the devil. A whole bunch of conspiracies thrown out there with Bill Gates,
Jesus Christ,
Hillary Clinton,
oh God, yeah,
5G,
okay,
all this stuff.
About that lady who did that like total Karen who was like just spouting off like insanity bullshit, like one after another, like completely straight face and serious. Yeah, if you get a chance, watch that footage because
it's very inspirational. that she is so damn stupid and is so confident in herself. And I'm like, I'm not confident in anything I do. I'm gonna send you the link for this in case you need it, because she goes off, and that's not the entire clip, especially. There's like another 10-15 seconds at the beginning. But she goes off in a way that's like, man, imagine she actually knew facts. How much she could do with that attitude. She's restricting God's gift of breathing, that kind of stuff. It's like, well, if you're dead, then he's taking it all from you.
You're not going to be doing much breathing then either.
You know, my dudes, I have heard some weird shit this week, and that whole mask thing. People are really spinning this. Like, I've heard that it deforms children's teeth and jaw and head. And I'm thinking, if a 50-cent mask could move my teeth, why the fuck did I spend so much on braces?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People are losing their ever-loving minds. Over a mask.
And I wonder how many of these people would be this crazy and this angry if we had gotten actual UBI that would have limited their need to
Dude, these the dudes money. Would be actually so many of these, at least not so many, but at least a handful of these dipshits would like be making TikTok videos of them burning their UBI checks.
I mean, they can do whatever they want with it as long as they get it. I mean, the rest of us will actually spend it on things we need.
Right? I mean,
if they want to burn it, I heard that there were a bunch of people actually threw out their checks from the first round of checks because it didn't look like a check, like the letter that you got didn't look like it had a check. So people were tossing it out. It's like, well, that's one way to spend $1,200. Just throw it out.
But let's see. The Barcelona Opera actually had opened up with its first concert. And they were like, you know what? We got this concert to do, but we got all these empty seats. What are we going to do about all these empty seats? They filled them with houseplants.
Yeah. 2,292 seats were filled with plants for a performance by the Ucelli Quartet. Mm-hmm. Ucelli, which it called a prelude to its 2020-21 season. The string quartet serenaded its leafy audience with Giacomo Puccini's Crescentemi, in a performance that was also made available to human listeners via live stream. So if you wanted that. I said, after a strange, painful period, the creator, the Liceu's artistic director and the curator, Blanco Della Torre, offer us a different perspective for our return to activity, a perspective that brings us closer to something as essential as our relationship with nature. And yeah, the plants came from local nurseries, will be donated along with a certificate from the artist to 2,292 healthcare professionals, specifically at the Hospital Clinic of Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
So they're forwarding the plants along to people that probably would like something that's easy to take care of. Versus the...
That's cool.
Everything else that's going on.
Yeah. And finally, the International Monetary Fund, who are probably one of the most evil organizations on the planet, but also kind of a good precursor of where the economy's going. They predicted that we're going to have a much deeper world recession than we previously thought.
Yeah, they were previously predicting about 3% contraction in April, and now they're saying 4.9%.
Yep.
That's like a 50% increase.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not good news.
Nope.
Yeah, they're predicting a recovery for next year with growth at 5.4% for the year compared to 5.8% in the April forecast, so that's it's shrunk a little bit. They also said a major new outbreak in 2021 could shrink the year's growth to a barely perceptible 0.5. So if this shit comes back big time or something else comes along, who knows? It's just going to get bad.
Yeah.
Might want to invest in ammo.
Yeah, know how to hunt, know how to farm.
And know how to do revolution. But those other two things are good, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, next up. We're going to get out. That's the COVID-19 dump truck for the week. So hopefully next week, I'm not sure if we'll have a fresh load for your face, but we probably will. So fingers crossed. Anyway, so this week, President Trump decided to have his first big outing after the COVID-19 pandemic had basically limited all of his rallies that he could attend. I mean, that he could, I say attend, that he could put on. Because pretty much through the pandemic, he was having to either turn his, like, White House press conferences into his new rallies or commandeering, like, official rallies to, you know, for, like, West Point graduates and shit to use as his new rally. And this week, he finally got the go-ahead to go ahead and do an actual rally because, you know, we are, say, it's June now, a few months away from the election.
About four months,
yeah. So he kind of has to, like, campaign a bit. So
rally at an actual appropriate time to have a rally, if it,
yeah,
it, under normal circumstances.
But unfortunately, he picked it on Juneteenth.
No, they postponed it a day, so it was on Saturday.
They postponed, yeah. And then decided to do it in Tulsa.
Tulsa.
Yeah. Oklahoma. And they were putting out just this huge amount of hype. Like, we've got over a million people wanting to get tickets to this thing. It's going to be filled to the rafters. We're going to have to, like, beat up a stage and give a speech to the overflow crowd outside of the place because there's going to be so many people. And, you know, it's going to be
overflow.
Yeah, and it's going to be so big, and you guys are just going to be sorry because, you know, we're back, baby. And then it happened, and it was like, okay, so, Chris, just real quick, how many seats does that particular arena have in total?
I'm not 100% sure. It's 1,900?
Yeah.
About?
No,
19,000.
Total seats to be filled, and only about 6,200 people ended up attending.
Yep. And and they smashed them all together for photo ops when they could have social distanced.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know what? You could have had, like, all these people, like, staying, like, you know, sit, like, with one seat in between them and spread them out, and it would look like a bigger crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also had... They had stuff outside for overflow.
Yeah,
and stages then, set up, and they had to take them down.
Because there was, like, what, 16 Nobody. People?
Pretty much anybody that wanted to get in could get in.
Yeah.
But nobody wanted to get in.
6,200 people, so that's, you know, that's.
And keep in mind, that number includes people like, you know, campaign officials, you know, people who were paid to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Jet like that. And if you put in all those numbers, you get like maybe 3,000 people total. So
this number is the scanned tickets from the event. Did not account for members of the media, campaign staff, or those in box suites.
Yeah.
And a Trump campaign official told The Hill here that 12,000 people went through metal detectors at the rally.
Mm-hmm.
But they only scanned 6,000 tickets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably wondering, okay, so what the fuck happened here? Were they just, like, full of shit from the beginning?
Well, we already have established
that. I mean, obviously they're full of shit, but specifically to this situation, to this particular scenario here happening,
mm-hmm.
you know, was it all just bluster? Like, were they going back to the early camp administration days where they were pretending about the size of the numbers and shit?
Part of that, too.
Maybe a little, but what ended up happening is basically a bunch of teenagers and K-pop fans got on TikTok and basically ended up claiming tickets that they would never use.
Mm-hmm.
So it ended up massively inflating what the demand looked like.
Yeah, so much so that
the whole K-pop thing got involved in this.
They are a key part of the resistance.
Yeah.
If you see shitty hashtags on Twitter that are trending, they're typically there posting their videos to flood it so that the actual awful shit is harder to find.
Nice.
I think there have been, like, Trump had a birthday fairly recently in the past couple months, and had a thing for submitting videos for Trump. Guess who flooded with all their favorite videos?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Like, they've been doing their thing and flooding bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, they tried to decrease the visibility of All Lives Matter very, very recently.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
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 To the point where the Trump campaign manager, Brad Parscale, who had recently tried to claim that they have, like, the greatest digital campaign in the works that was nicknamed the Death Star campaign. I was basically saying that they had the biggest data haul and rally sign-up of all time by 10 times. Saturday is going to be amazing. And Trump also joined in saying that they had almost 1 million people requested tickets. Mm-hmm. So yeah, a lot of these people work together. And I think, yeah. Signing up with all sorts of fake shit. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, they think they got a good list of people that are interested, and a lot of it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they...
So, look for Brad Parscale to be fired within the next couple
weeks. He's already stepped down.
Yeah.
Oh, already
He stepped down shortly after the failure of this Tulsa rally.
Yeah.
To which, then he went to an Arizona rally that was put on by some church that claimed they had special equipment to get to destroy coronavirus.
Yeah.
Which is not a thing, or else everybody would know about it.
Yeah.
In the entire world.
Uh-huh.
They just installed more air conditioners, I assume. Because it's Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Well, they probably already had the air conditioners in the first place, then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, AOC got in on this. I was having fun saying, you just got rocked by teens on TikTok who tricked you into believing a million people wanted your white supremacist open mic enough to pack in an arena during COVID. K-pop allies, we see and appreciate your contributions in the fight for justice.
Yep.
To which the Trump campaign tried to accuse her of encouraging a foreign-owned platform to interfere with the U.S. elections and politics.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's freaking rich.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
By the way, the campaign also tried originally to claim that the reason there were low turnout was because there was a bunch of Antifa protesters that were trying to prevent people from entering building.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, no.
There weren't.
No.
But as for the actual rally and, like, the actual sort of, you know... part of the, you know, the meat of his speech, which was basically a giant line of him whining about how the media made fun of him for, you know, having to use two hands to drink a glass of water and slowly going down that ramp like a feeble old man.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you saw, Trump also did a, like, town hall with Sean Hannity.
Mm-hmm.
Where he asked him a legit question, like, let's see, if you hear in 131 days from now at some point in the night or early morning, we can now project Donald J. Trump has been reelected the 45th president of the United States. Let's talk. What's at stake in this election as you compare and contrast, and which are your top priority items for a second term? Mm-hmm. He said, let me see, where's the quote here? Well, one of the things that will be really great, you know, the word experience is still good. I always say talent is more important than experience. I've always said that, but the word experience is a very important word. It's an important meaning. I never did this before. I never slept over in Washington. I was in Washington, I think, 17 times. All of a sudden, I'm the President of the United States. You know the story. I'm riding down Pennsylvania Avenue with our First Lady, and I say, this is great. But I don't know very many people in Washington. It wasn't my thing. I was from Manhattan, from New York. Now I know everybody, and I have great people in the administration. You make some mistakes, like, you know, an idiot like Bolton. All he wanted to do is drop bombs on everybody. You don't have to drop bombs on everybody. You don't have to kill people. You notice he didn't say anything about his second term, what points he has for it?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. I mean, it's at this point. I mean, if we've seen anything in the last month or so, they've been ramping up the bullshit, because I think there's a sense in the Trump White House that the clock is ticking and they've only got a few more months before, you know, they got to loot the place and leave the country.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, he isn't entirely wrong about John Bolton.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude is a carpet bombing fanatic.
Yeah.
But
also Trump probably, is bombed when he has had his chance.
Yeah. Probably the only person worse was Kissinger, and I mean, he's basically dancing with the Grim Reaper as we speak, so...
Yeah. Also, I love the Bolton thing, because they have to figure out whether they want to say everything is true in that book, that it's classified, or that it's fake, and nobody should believe it. And they don't know which one to say, so they say both. It's like, it's only one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Either it's legit, and you have reason to... stop him, or it's all fake.
Yeah.
which is why people have just leaked the book onto the internet.
Yeah, because I don't want to give any of that fucker my money.
Oh, hell.
Yeah, because he should have provided this to Congress.
Yeah, if you really wanted something good to be done about this, you should have spoke up earlier, but no, you had to go and do it with your book.
Well, he would have made plenty in speaking fees if he had, you know, done the whole in front of Congress thing. So, yeah. Either way, he was going to make money.
I mean, Comey did both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and of course, you know, Trump said, you know, talking about, you know, slow down COVID-19 testing to get lower numbers.
Yeah, try to say it was a joke, and it's like,
no, dude, nobody's talking about
that. Yeah, you can. It's usually very easy to tell if Trump is joking about something. He's very transparent about it.
Which they say, like, he was obviously kidding. We are leading the world in testing and have conducted 25 million plus in testing. And then somebody asked him, was he kidding?
Of the population.
Yeah. And then somebody asked, were you kidding about these? Like, I don't kid.
It's like,
yeah, that's that's what everybody knows.
Dumbass.
Mm-hmm. I don't kid. I never joke.
Yeah. Anyway. Of course, he used a bunch of music that for the rally that
doesn't belong to him.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
For example, the family and estate of the late, great Tom Petty have issued a cease and desist over the use of I Won't Back Down for his rally.
Yeah, sure. Trump got them to stop fighting amongst themselves long enough to issue a cease and desist.
Right. Yeah.
That's something there.
Yeah, and yeah, he's had his own history, Tom Petty, having the Confederate flag at his shows until he kind of came to the realization that, that shit's fucked up.
Yeah.
And stopped doing it. Especially had a video for one of his songs that he was fighting Reagan. Mm-hmm. Beating up Reagan. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially that song, I Won't Back Down, because, like, I don't know if you know the story behind that song.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's that song came about because one Saturday morning, he was breakfasting in his like new house that he had built for him and his family, and they smelled smoke. And he went to investigate, and he saw that the back of the house was burning. Someone had actually tried to burn him and his family, alive.
Wow! Oh, no. Oh my God!
Yeah,
and that almost ended his career. He was almost like, I'm done. But he and took that energy, and we got I Won't Back Down out of it.
Yeah.
Which was the song they used.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, also, and if you're wondering, one of the who's one of the people playing guitar on that song?
Mm-hmm.
George Harrison.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, apparently the day they were recording that song, Petty had like a really bad cold. And George went to the grocery store, bought a ginger root, boiled it, and then he made Petty stick his head in the pot to get the ginger steam up his sinuses.
Ooh.
And what you hear on the record is the aftermath of that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, that shit actually does work. It really empties you. You can also use pepper. That's really violent.
And, of course, Tom Petty's fans weren't the only ones. Brendan Urie of Panic at the Disco. Well, he is Panic at the Disco now. Yeah, he is literally the only dude.
Him and a rotating cast of recording musicians.
Well, actually, at this point, it's literally him doing all the instruments on the album.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, he's basically become Prince.
Yeah, I was about to say.
They were using high hopes at those rallies, and he's like, fuck no.
It's like, yeah, no.
Mm-mm, quit that.
You're not appropriating our stuff for your, hate speech.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of country songs if he wants that'll gladly...
Yeah, and even the country, and even the country people are getting iffy about that kind of thing.
Yeah, it depends on who it is. Some of them are all in on Trump. Some of them are not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Including
except a certain group that we will be talking about shortly. We'll leave it to that. But anyway, so that was Trump's rally this week. It was a disaster. Everybody felt schadenfreude.
Yes.
And he basically... Have you seen the picture of him going coming back to the White House after stepping off the helicopter?
Yep.
Where he looks like his tie is untied. He looks especially wet and sweaty.
Yeah. Defeated Trump is good Trump.
Yeah. Yes. And now we're moving on to another great American pastime, which is tearing down the statues of old white people.
Yes.
I mean, not all the old white people, but the ones that specifically deserve it.
Yeah, some of them have... Yeah, there's been a few mistakes in the effort.
But, honestly, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Statues aren't how... You remember history. Statues are symbols of power.
They're celebratory in nature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The stories of the people who overcame is how we remember history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you should do, honestly, I think a lot, and I've said as much here to my family, is like, as if we still want these statues but won't, like, destroy them or anything, we should basically do what a lot of the places in the former Soviet Union did, which is... take all the old statues of, like, Marx and Lenin and Stalin and, like, put them in what they call the statue graveyard.
Yeah.
Which are basically, like, these public spaces where they just, you know, they just kind of haphazardly put them around.
Yeah. Like, a lot of former Soviet Union countries have, like, these graveyards of old tanks and such.
Yeah.
That people kind of hang out with. Like, this is what we used to fucking do here.
Yeah. Or, you know,
have they all been disabled, or?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I was gonna say if they just left them there.
Wait,
as
don't
they
get
were.
Me wrong. Eastern Europeans are hardcore, but they're not stupid.
Yeah, I think Drew Scanlon from Giant Bomb, formerly of Giant Bomb, has a channel called Cloth Map where he's gone to some of these countries.
Yeah.
And seen like the old setups for, you know, missile silos and such, that kind of stuff. It's
or go to
Albania cool.
and like just track all of the. You know, concrete bunkers that are still basically like at one every square mile. Because Enver Hoxha was fucking loony, but.
Yeah.
So, yeah. First and foremost, we need to. The American Museum of Natural History have announced that they're going to be removing the Teddy Roosevelt statue that's out front. Now, Teddy Roosevelt is already kind of a controversial, iffy figure. But he's also one of those dudes who did a bunch of other stuff that you wouldn't normally think he would be targeted for something like this. The reason is because there's a very specific kind of context to the statue.
Oh. Yeah.
Chris?
Yeah,
him.
So he is on horseback.
Yeah,
as,
which he was wont to do.
Yeah, he liked that. That was kind of what presidents did in the 1900s, early 1900s.
But especially him, because he was... probably insane.
Yeah. He had two special guests behind him. One a Native American, and one a slave.
Yep.
Okay. Like with ropes tied to them.
Mm-hmm. Like, these are the people I conquered.
Wow.
And that's been sitting there since... Not sure when. Not sure if they mentioned how long it's been there.
Well, he died in the 1930s, so...
1919.
Nope, oh, sorry, I'm at 1919. Fuck. I forgot about that. But,
So Bill de Blasio is doing one good thing, I guess.
Yeah. And, of course, he's still on Mount Rushmore, so...
Yeah.
But
well, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah,
people carving
that's a
shit
whole
into mountains.
Other can of beans right there. We could do a whole show about it, yeah.
Honestly, yeah.
Because there is a lot of bullshit with that fucking monument.
Yep.
Including
you guys got your own.
Belts up there in the first place.
And you got your own carving in a mountain that's controversial down there in Georgia.
Yeah, but I'm like Stone Mountain one. Ours is more difficult to get rid of.
We got explosives for that type of thing.
You would think that would work, but even that wouldn't work. Because you have to understand the kind of mountain Stone Mountain actually is.
What the fuck is the really,
well, it's not really a mountain per se. It's basically, it's more like a, well, let me see. It's, you have to sort of know what the stuff's made of. It's made out of a, it's basically a giant quartz dome.
Oh, no, that's not going to go.
It's basically like a giant quartz pebble sticking out of the ground.
Yeah, not without a fight.
Yeah, you basically would have to get, like, industrial-grade sandblasters to get that shit down.
I mean, how many are out of commission right now? I'll just borrow for a few weeks. Just put them to work.
Yeah,
that's how we get some people some jobs here.
Yeah. But anyway, so in D.C., a bunch of protesters were trying to tear down a statue of Andrew Jackson. Police stopped him.
Yeah, that one's near and dear to Trump's heart.
An individual I would have no down the statues because he was a real bastard.
Yeah,
he was a genuinely terrible person.
By all accounts.
Yeah,
he and, was not like not just with the things he did, but just as an individual, the dude basically was always looking for a fight.
Yeah, and he's apparently the favorite president of the current one.
Oh, yeah. God. Well, go.
There's a reason we've been trying to replace the front of the $20 bill for all these years.
Yeah.
And he likes Jackson there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's yeah, they've been trying to tear it. They tried to tear it down, didn't get, because it's pretty well made. Like some statues we've seen over the years where people tried to pull down, just fell like putty.
Yeah.
Or they're like, oh, you guys cheaped out.
Yeah.
Or they pulled the whole thing down and the statue just like crumpled.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh.
It wasn't really made out of very good materials. You gotta understand a lot of those like statues that were made like especially in the like 1920s and 1950s and stuff, they were basically like cookie cutter mass produced shit that were specifically made in bulk. So like we here in Macon, we actually have our own like Confederate statue down on Main Street, and it's literally the same like statue that you'll find like all over the country. It's the one of the Confederate soldier, he's got like the wide-brimmed hat and the beard, and he's got a rifle at his side. It's literally the same statue all over the country. And it was put there in like 1909.
Jeez.
Next up, the city of Charleston, South Carolina actually ended up removing a statue of Vice President John C. Calhoun. You guys want to guess who John C. Calhoun was vice president for?
Oh, I should know. We should all know. Well, maybe not Phil, but we should all know.
John Quincy Adams and Andrew Jackson.
Double duty.
Yeah.
He was also
always a bridesmaid.
Crazy. Like, he was legit.
Yeah, they called him the Cast Iron Man.
That is a... Yeah, that is a way people used to look back in the day. Especially the photograph that was put shortly before he died in 1849. It looks like, you'll just see. But yeah, Calhoun is basically the guy, he is the godfather of the states' rights argument.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which goes out the window when you actually look at the secession declarations that the states put out.
Yep.
Which specifically call out slavery. It's been the reason they are, that's their primary reason?
Yeah. He's also the godfather of the nullification doctrine, which he almost brought the country to the brink of civil war while he was vice president because he was arguing that.
Yeah. And apparently just getting this statue down was a huge pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Took him all night. Contractors resorted to a diamond cutter to cut through a metal base, securing his statue to a pedestal that towers more than 100 feet. Over a downtown square along Calhoun Streets, which, you know how much of a hard-on these people have for this when they make sure it's 100 feet in the air.
Oh, yeah.
'Cause 100 feet in the air is fucking high.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's going to be hard to see for most people.
Yeah.
Unless you're
and,
quite a bit away.
And, of course, our president wasn't going to take it all lying down, so he has threatened anyone trying to topple those statues with 10 years of prison time.
Yeah,
and what law is he going to
Yeah, there's
invoke?
A law, let's see, passed in 2003 that is the Veterans Memorial Preservation Act. States that a person who, quote, willfully injures or destroys or attempts to injure or destroy any structure, plaque, statue, or other monument on public property commemorating the service of any person or persons in the armed forces of the United States shall be fined under this title. Imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. Well, technically they're the commander-in-chief, I guess they would argue, unless they were specifically part of the military at some point in their career. But
yeah. Which, by the way, Calhoun was not. To point that out.
Yeah.
He was basically, he was also one of the first major chicken hawks in American politics.
Yeah.
He was a huge supporter of the War of 1812, even though he never fought in it.
Yeah, and joining this fight is Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas.
Because, of course.
Called for the Justice Department to use the act to bring charges against those who attempt to topple monuments. He penned a letter to Barr saying it's past time to stop the mob. His vandals should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Yeah, yeah. Screw him. But, yeah, so, yeah, and that's pretty much Statue Watch for the week.
I think he specifically wrote up a, or signed a executive order around the statue thing.
Yeah.
A little bit ago, so I don't know if the specifics are on that, but yeah.
Yeah. The thing about executive orders is states don't actually have to follow them.
Yeah.
So,
Unless there's somehow like a federal monument kind of thing.
Yeah.
I guess.
So I expect this to basically continue for the foreseeable future because there are a lot of those statues around and people kept getting, getting blocked by the authorities. So they finally just decided to take it into their own hands.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Trump cares more about these statues than the people that have coronavirus.
Yeah.
He's fighting more for them, for inanimate objects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that why he's been yelling law and order repeatedly on Twitter for the past 3 days?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Probably. Right. He's a big fan of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's probably a big fan of Law and Order Criminal
Intent.
Sure, that
goes way over his head.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe Law and Order Special Victims Unit. There's a lot of good ones you can just respond to him with.
Yeah.
The title cards saying, like, which one?
Mm-hmm.
Criminal Intent, Special Victims Unit, which one are you particularly favor
yeah.
of?
So next up from there, in Congress, there have basically been a dueling set of two different police reform bills that have been tried to go through. The Republicans made one and the Dems made their own. Currently the Dems in the Senate are trying to block the ones the Republicans made, mostly because it's mostly toothless.
Yeah, they need 60 votes and they only got 55.
Yeah.
Which was led by Tim Scott, the only African American GOP senator.
Mm-hmm.
Even Joe Manchin, Doug Jones, and Angus King voted for it, which those are all Republicans.
Like
states,
yeah.
Yeah. So they voted with it.
Not Joe Manchin. He's a Democrat, but he's also
in West Virginia. I'm saying they're in states that lean that way.
Basically, a Republican.
He votes that way when it makes sense.
Mm.
It's deadlocked. And this bill, which of course Mitch McConnell tries to say the Democrats are bullying them, it's like, no, you got the majority, you assholes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do something that brings on the Democrats needed to pass your bill. They need 8 or 9 of them, I think.
Yeah.
But they didn't get that. Let's see, the bill they were pushing, requires additional disclosures about the use of force, codifies reporting requirements on the use of no-knock warrants, provides incentives for chokehold bans, and makes lynching a federal crime.
Yeah.
So maybe there's one thing there that's good, but the rest is like, this is baby shit.
Yeah, the other one, the Democrats includes things like, obviously, chokehold bans, federal lynching laws. One thing it doesn't include is a police database.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're at the point where the two sides are going to have to come together and compromise with each other.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're not going to do anything, which may be what McConnell wants anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is Because I think both of these were done without the other's involvement.
Mm-hmm. So they can, pretty much.
So the Democrats in the House can easily pass their bill.
I think the Democrats are kind of are okay with sort of letting this draw on for the time being because they expect to basically get a huge blue wave when November comes around.
But, yeah. This will definitely become a major campaign issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of things coming out of the House, this week, actually today, the House of Representatives officially voted to make Washington, D.C. a state.
Yep.
About time.
The Senate GOP is not interested.
Yeah. The bill was basically along party lines. No Republicans voted for it, but all the Democrats that were there did, so it was 232 to 180.
Mm-hmm.
The first time a chamber of Congress has passed a D.C. statehood bill.
Mm-hmm.
One Democrat opposed it, Minnesota Rep. Colin Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, yes. Doesn't seem like McConnell is interested in this, so vote them out.
Yeah.
It'll happen, then we can look at Puerto Rico, see if they want to do that as well. Maybe the other territories as well.
Virgin Islands.
Yep.
But yeah, D.C. has more people living there than two of our states, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wyoming and Vermont.
Those opposing this are basically using a constitutional argument.
Yeah, sure.
Because I think it's the 23rd Amendment, I think, that mandates a federal area to be nonpartisan so that, you know, it can be a place of governance for the various parties. Which is all well and good, but there are people who live there, dude. And they're getting taxed without representation.
Make that the specific grounds that the Congress and White House and all that are on.
Mm-hmm.
Secede that honestly, from the rest of the
I would
land.
Not want to be a justice on that case.
Oh, boy.
Because that is a legitimate constitutional snarl.
Oh, yeah. Next up.
So is taxation without representation.
That's what I mean.
Remember, we kind of had a whole war about it.
Yeah.
Lasted a few years. Kind of founded our country. Anyone?
It doesn't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm. Of course, President Trump is constantly tweeting and bringing up stuff, and amongst other things, he keeps talking about some kind of conspiracy theory about how the 2020 election will be rigged by mail. Rigged by mail. Yeah, he's also trying to push the Supreme Court to end the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah. Yeah, the amount of work that would have to go into rigging the election via mail is. And actually, it will be like the biggest conspiracy that has ever actually happened.
Yeah.
Because I think they use very specific paper from like one of a couple companies in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not exactly going to start printing out millions for a mysterious third party.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the states that they work with, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he said, it will be the scandal of our times. Like, yeah, if this thing were to actually happen, it would be.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because it's too much work for fucking however many votes they could get.
Yeah. And as for the ACA thing, I think that's sort of him kind of realizing that the clock's ticking.
He has red meat for the base.
And he'd like to make sure that like when coronavirus is over, the people that potentially have bills, they should pay him.
Yeah.
I assume insurance companies are involved in this particular push.
Yeah.
Because they would like to not have the bill for all this shit.
Mm-hmm. Some good news, though not in good circumstances, that came out of my state. The three men that killed Ahmaud Arbery, they have all officially been indicted.
Good.
Yep. Yeah, Glynn County, Georgia. Gregory and Travis McMichael, as well as William Roddy Bryan, charged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 9 counts, including malice murder, felony murder, criminal attempt to commit false imprisonment.
Mm-hmm. All that stuff. Yeah.
They're remaining in jail without bond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure when they're going to make the actual sentencing. Mm. Yeah, but we'll probably mention it when it happens.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Now for some next car weirdness. Somebody found a noose in Bubba Wallace's garage. Bubba Wallace, by the way, is an African-American driver for NASCAR.
Yeah, you're only full-time.
And the FBI was brought in to investigate. And it turns out that thing's actually been there since 2019.
Yeah, since the last time they had a race there, which was last October, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so in response, since that basically brought up the whole Jesse Smollett thing, people started calling him Bubba Smollett. Despite him not being the one that saw it and reported it.
Yeah, he's not the guy who
it was one of his people
it.
That
Someone
came.
Else yet.
It was one of his team people that came to the garage early to get things ready. But yeah, he released the picture of it, and that's a fucking noose to any normal person.
That's the most elaborate garage pull I've ever seen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it's actually functioning like a noose, you would not want that to be set up like that. You don't want it to tighten around your wrist while you're pulling it.
Yeah, that is a noose. That is
There's not
obviously.
Which you'll see on Twitter, tons of people like, oh, that's a typical knot. Like, yeah, for hanging people, that's not...
Yeah, for a noose.
That's not a knot.
Used for making nooses.
That's the noose, either an actual noose or somebody that made a close proximity of a noose.
Yeah.
Don't tell me the fucking, Boy Scouts not name for this thing.
Yeah.
It's a fucking noose. Like,
any
normal person would call it that.
Using that. If you were actually, making something like that to actually, pull down a garage, the knot would not be that way.
Yeah, which
it would
people...
just be an actual regular knot.
Yeah, that's what they had...
Well, some garage pulls I've seen haven't even bothered with a knot. They're just ropes hanging down.
They had all of their tracks do a sweep of all the garages for these poles. 1,684 stalls, only 11 had their rope in a knot, and only one was noose style.
Mm-hmm.
So they're about as lazy with the ropes as anybody else would be. They're just just fucking pull on the rope. It's a rope, whatever.
Yep.
We're only going to be here for a week at most, so... Fuck it. And also, it was a coincidence that he was here. They arranged they assigned the garages by point standings.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pure coincidence that he was the one that was in that one. But also says a lot that when they were there back in October, that the person in that garage or any of the people that were there did not realize what this was. And call it out. So they are doing sensitivity training with everybody. So that people see that kind of shit again, to report it right away.
Yep.
Not just ignore it. Because it says a lot that nobody else notices until the team with the black driver was the one that noticed it.
Yep.
Which people started posting pictures from Instagram from last October of various pulls. And it's like, that's not the noose one. Like, stop.
Yeah, it's like, that's not how that works.
That's just a knot, you idiots. Stop fucking trying to nail this on one specific team or whatever. Which they could probably figure out which person or which garage had that one, but...
Yeah, I'm sure there's security cameras there, too. I mean...
Yeah. But it says a lot that the response for this for NASCAR has been only to strengthen the resolve over fighting this stuff, not give it to the racist part of their fan base. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, NASCAR's kind of doubled down.
It's like before the race, before the results of all this stuff, all the drivers walked behind his car going up to the start line. So definitely rallying around him.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the FBI investigation, part of the investigation was not the awful thing that they thought it was, which is actually good news.
Yeah.
Good news and bad news, but good that nobody specifically... set this up to send a message to him.
Yeah. But, anyway,
I also have to shout out Richard Petty on this because he is the definition of an old school guy and he has stood by Bubba Wallace 100% through all this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And next up from there, the MLB is finalizing details on its 60-game season.
Yep, they seem they're going to start July 23rd or 24th. They're going to have training camps leading up to it so people can kind of get back into shape. And 60-game season, so that'll be 10 games against the other teams in your division. That's 40. And then you'll be playing 20 against the opposing league's division. So the AL Central will play the NL Central, AL West, NL West, that kind of thing. I think that's 4 games each. And then they'll have a standard 10-team playoff structure, so they're not messing with that as people were expecting. But yeah, there's a good bit of things that are changing here. The NL will have a designated hitter this time around, which may be the last time.
Yeah, there's some weird rules going on with this.
Yeah, which might be the end of the pitchers hitting in the NL, which some pitchers like and some pitchers don't. Extra innings, teams will be putting a runner on second base, which will be the last batter from the previous inning, I believe, which they've been doing it in the minors for a little while, and I think it's gone okay. They're going to start rosters at 30 men for the first 2 weeks, go to 28 for the next 2 weeks, and then stay at 26 for the remainder. Which is weird, but teams also have a taxi squad, allows them to have as many 60 players available to play. Because, like, all these leagues trying to start up while this COVID-19 is still going on means that a lot of these games are going to be subject to how good your second-string team is. Because you're going to be substituting guys out for periods of time. Yep. So, yeah, they're going to have, like, a COVID-19 injury list with no minimum or maximum length of time to spend on it, because if you don't know, they have 3 different types of injury lists, 10 days, or it's like 15 days, 60 days, and then the rest of the season. So if like people that don't have serious injuries, you could put them on the 15-day, and you wouldn't be able to use them for 15 days, but you could free up a spot to bring somebody up for that time, that kind of stuff. So they're shortening the 60-day to 45-day, and I think the 15 is going to 10, so shortening things because the season's only 60 games, so you can't necessarily have super long ones. But yeah, already some a bunch of players have been testing positive, like the star player for Colorado, a bunch of players and staff members for the Phillies have tested positive, 7 players and 5 staff members, maybe from going out to drink after practice, something like that. But yeah, if you didn't see, I think that for the college football stuff, I think Clemson had like 20 players test positive. Like, there's going to be a lot of weirdness going on this upcoming season for a bunch of the leagues.
Oh yeah,
you're going to have players that are going to go out, and you know, they might be out for 2 weeks, might be out for longer. It's going to be all about who you got behind your star players.
Yeah,
might determine how these games go. And it's going to be a weird, weird season coming up for every sport.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. All right. So, moving on from there, we've got news that Amazon is going to be buying the naming rights for the Key Arena. They're actually going to be renaming it the Climate Pledge Arena for the NHL team that plays there. Pat, this is your area.
Yeah, it's really all there is to it. They're making it the first green arena in the NHL. There's zero emissions, zero carbon footprint. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Fascinating.
They just want to go completely green with it.
Alrighty then.
And Amazon is doing this.
Yeah, Amazon bought the naming rights.
Yeah.
Probably to prevent it from being the Starbucks Center. Which was apparently a possibility.
Yeah.
Giant mermaid on the sign that's been played out.
So let's see. All right. After that. Oh yeah. Here's one I wanted to talk about briefly. So everybody here is familiar with Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually have never been on Splash Mountain.
No. Have any of us even been to Disney?
I have. I've been there twice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I went in the 90s.
But I didn't really grow up on Disney.
Yeah. Yeah, I went there when I was in the fifth grade the first time, and then I went the second time when I was in my 20s.
Yeah. Yeah, my parents went.
One thing about Disney World and all those parks is that as you get older, you find new things to appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think my parents did a smart thing is we didn't go for the entirety of our vacation just to the Disney parks.
Yeah.
We spent there for, like, the first few days, and then we went to, like, Universal one day, then we went to, like, Daytona Beach for another day, and then, like, visit, like, the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum and some of the other stuff there. Like, there's a lot of shit in Orlando.
So what Splash Mountain is it's basically called a log ride. It's basically a – it's one of those, like, it's sort of a dark ride that transitions into, like, a waterfall off a steep cliff.
Yeah.
And it happens very suddenly, too. It's, like, without almost no warning.
Usually they have, like, a bridge at the bottom for people to stand on, then they get splashed.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that, do you guys know what year that ride actually went up first? 1989.
Okay.
Yeah. And originally it was meant to tie into a sort of mediocre Tom Hanks movie that came out around that time that I guess fell through. And they kind of had to scramble for what they were going to fill it with, so they went to I think they called it America Sings or whatever. It was one of those, like, places with, like, the singing animatronic things.
Oh, creepy.
You know, like the Country Bear Jamboree, that kind of thing.
Pirates ride.
Yeah. Well, more like the Country Bear Jamboree. Yeah. So they got a bunch of those, and they came up with this idea. And they went back to their old catalog, and they was like, you know, since this ride's going to be in Frontierland, part of the, you know, that part of the park, let's give it, like, an old frontier-type story. And so they came up with this nice story. It's actually probably one of the better stories as far as their classic rides goes in Disney. It just so happens that the story they decided to do were the Br'er Rabbit characters, which come from a little movie you all may have heard of called Song of the South.
Yeah.
Which
I
Disney
remember
has
watching that.
Like, yeah, I've watched it, too. Disney has tried to do everything they possibly can to pretend that that movie does not exist.
I was like 10 and I knew that it was messed up.
It's the last time it was even available for consumption was a home video release in, I think, the early 80s.
Yeah, that was accurate.
Yeah.
About when I watched it.
As we know, that's when racism ended.
Yeah. Of course, they also had it got it available a lot longer up in Canada, as Phil has let us know.
Yeah, well, that was actually in the UK that happened. It ran once on the BBC.
And everybody taped it.
Yeah.
Basically.
And then somebody went through all of the footage and meticulously color corrected it and, you know, actually did a good job with it. And what's, like, surprising about that release is that like what we've been saying about actually giving context, they did that on the original airing.
On the original airing in the BBC, they're like, yeah, so this movie is sort of, it was at the time and place it was made. This is the time period it takes in. It takes a very whimsical view of that time period, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. You know, stuff like that. Yeah. As you can, it ended up, you know, it was a very popular ride. It was one of the most popular attractions in the park for the entirety of its existence.
Oh, man, log rides are fun.
Yeah.
Of course it would be.
Yeah, it's one of the most
here's the thing.
Roller coaster
here's the
rides
thing.
They have.
Yeah, it is, like next to Space Mountain.
Most of them are just like little bullshit and stuff that kids can enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, the animatronics are fun.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Those are fun.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, like, a lot of the rides are just not... They're for kids, not for...
Adults.
Not like adults like most roller coaster places.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's not Six Flags is what he's getting to. Mm. But here's the thing. There were generations of kids going on that ride, seeing all these characters, and were asking, Mommy, Daddy, what Disney movie is this from? And that's when suddenly you have to have a very hard conversation.
Chill fills the room.
Yeah. And it's been like a running joke for decades about what the context of that ride is. like American Dad made fun of it, you know. The Simpsons had fun with it. It's an old joke. Well, this week Disney announced that after they had basically taken down Splash Mountain, which I don't think people realize that ride actually hasn't been available at the park at Walt Disney World in particular for a while now.
Huh.
Yeah, they're making a lot of changes.
Yeah. But funny story. You know what they did in Disney with a lot of those old animatronics? Mm. Do you know that Winnie the Pooh ride that's down there now? Mm. Yeah. If you first going into the Winnie the Pooh ride when you're in the car and it's going into like the first room, if you look behind there, all those old animatronics, they cut their heads off and mounted them on the wall.
Okay, that's creepy.
Yeah. It's like if you went on Splash Mountain, got to see like what was on the ceiling when you're going down.
Mm-hmm.
See how many like deadly things you could do if you were tall enough.
Yeah.
Got out of your seat.
Yeah. But Disney announced that not only are they bringing Splash Mountain back, they are completely overhauling and rebranding it with the Princess and the Frog, which frankly is a far superior film.
No.
Do they own the rights to Splash? The Tom Hanks movie?
They should.
I was like, there's your Splash Mountain. But
mm-hmm. Oh god.
Disney owns just about everything.
Yeah. But there better be an animatronic Dr. Fasali, whatever that dude's name is. Dr. Facilier. Even though they said that the idea is it take place like the moment after the big kiss at the end. But that's also what they said about the Shrek ride in Universal, and they still managed to dig that dude's ass up out of the grave. So, yeah. And the animatronics they've gotten at Disney now are insane, especially if you've gone on the Avatar ride. Wow.
Yeah, I heard that Star Wars ride that they got now is actually the Rise of the Rebellion. It's supposed to be really good.
Oh, yeah. Next up in entertainment news, the Dixie Chicks. They are no longer the Dixie Chicks. They're now just the Chicks. And they dropped a protest song this week as well.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a pretty good song.
Mm-hmm.
It's on their album Gaslighter, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, their music took a stark turn after 2001.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
They're one of the few bands that rose up to like counter Bush, mm-hmm. them and Green Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were like the two big ones.
Yeah.
Then they took a break for a while, Dixie Chicks.
Yeah. As I mean, after having to deal with all that shit, I would not imagine why.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they had a lot more backlash than Green Day got, of course, just because of their audience.
Yeah, because the Dixie Chicks are, you know, formerly a country western group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, also being women mm-hmm. in that part of the music industry, speaking of lines, not...
And outspoken, which... You know, that used to, you know, women in country music used to be a lot more outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
So much so that it would actually hurt their record sales on occasion. Not so much now. Nashville is all in on the totalitarianism right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've gotten...
Modern country... The modern stuff you find on country radio this day is basically just pop music with a southern accent.
Yep.
With some twang to it.
With some minor twang to it.
Yeah.
Oh, it ain't minor, dude.
There's a lot of twang.
Yeah. I guess also recently, Lady Antebellum changed their name to Lady A.
Yeah.
Do you don't think it's a great change? It's like, what's C stand for? Antebellum.
Yeah. Like, just call yourself the ladies. It's fine.
Or find another name.
Yeah.
Because Antebellum is a very specific reference.
Yeah. Now, the thing about the name Dixie is actually a bit... the thing about it, the context about that name is actually really all over the place. Because, do you guys know where that name actually comes from? And before you say Mason-Dixon line, no, it isn't.
No.
It's because... Not. Okay, so when you think of Dixie, you're usually thinking of a very specific part of the country. It's the states of Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Basically, all the states that are linked by the Mississippi River.
Well, there's actually a part of Utah called Dixie, which is pretty much the southern part around, like, Washington County, Cedar City, St. George.
But specifically, when it has to do this, it has to come from... So when they were doing the trade up and down the Mississippi River, since a lot of it would start in Louisiana, and, you know, there's a heavy French-speaking population in Louisiana... They actually coined their own currency specifically for that era, for that area, and it was the it was called the Dix because it was in tens.
Oh, okay.
And so you were going up the Mississippi River, you were trading Dixies, and that became Dixie.
Okay.
That's where the name comes from, but also it comes from, you know, that song Dixieland, which was the unofficial anthem of the Confederacy. Believe it or not, they never actually had an official anthem down there.
They weren't around long enough.
No, they were only around for like 4 years, barely. If you ever hear, a lot of people, when they hear Dixie, they usually think Confederate flags, so the change is understandable.
Yeah. Speaking this song, of other changes, this song has some real good lyrics to it.
Yeah.
Brenna's packing heat because she don't like Mondays. Underpaid teacher policing the hallways. Print yourself a weapon and take it to the gun range. Ah, cut the shit. You ain't going to the gun range.
Mm-hmm. But,
just anyway. Cheesy, but also, like, pretty effective.
Mm-hmm. But, also other stories as far as changes going. Tina Fey has been requesting that some old 30 Rock episodes end up getting removed from streaming because they feature blackface.
Yeah, there's four episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Season 3, Episode 2, Believe in the Stars and Christmas Attack Zone. Season 5, Episode 10, which featured Jane Krakowski's character, Jenna, in blackface.
Mm-hmm.
Live from Studio 6H, Season 6, Episode 19, featured John Hamm in blackface. It's part of an Amos and Andy parody. And the East Coast version of The Live Show, Season 5, Episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think also there was an episode of Community that just got pulled, the D&D episode.
Yeah, which features, which sucks because that's one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, but features the teacher dressing as a dark elf.
Yeah.
Full black paint.
Yeah.
Which is like, I get they're probably making fun of blackface, but also that's not really an excuse anymore.
Yeah.
Because you're just doing blackface.
Mm-hmm.
Enough people will take that as the straight version versus the get the irony of what's going on.
Yeah.
So basically any high fantasy or World of Warcraft type movie can never have dark elves in it anymore.
No, I think CG. You just got to do it right.
Yeah.
Don't do it the stupid way that like 30 Rock or Community would do it.
Yeah.
The lazy way, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, there was that World of Warcraft movie.
CG.
Yeah, CG. CG or convincing aesthetic.
Mocap, y'all. Yeah. They're for a reason.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Or, I don't know, cast black actors.
Yeah, you can do that, too.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. People are coming around to the notion that, like, yeah, blackface went out for a good while and then came right back in, like, the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Because people forgot why we stopped doing blackface.
Oh, no. Howard Stern was doing it during the 90s.
Yeah, but as far as entertainment,
he is Howard Stern,
and shows and all that.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff, entertainment you'll watch and be like, wow, I'm surprised they did this in 2010.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, that seems like forever ago, but also that was only 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Time is warped because of what's going on right now, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. This year, seriously, like, feels like we've gone through, like, 4 or 5 years in the span of...
Yeah, it's like when somebody references Tiger King, and it's like, that came out, like, 2 years ago, didn't it? It's like, oh, fuck.
No, it only came out a couple months ago.
It's like, Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But, As for The Simpsons, they're actually recasting all of their non-white characters, and of course by non-white, in a Simpsons context, we mean those that aren't yellow.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're... That, we already knew Hank Azaria was not doing a Pooh.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're basically doing that across the board for the rest of the characters, so... I'm not sure what the whole list is, like Higgins, Carl... I assume it would be some of them. If you were like, oh, you got to get somebody to write, it's like, yeah, there's plenty of good black voice actors out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they've probably done those voices tons of times if they're fans of the show, that kind of thing. And
Lamar.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on
Futurama. He's going to get a lot more work now.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, this has been a thing that's been happening recently. Jenny Slate exited her role on Big Mouth.
Yeah.
Because that is a black character, despite being mixed with a white Jewish mother, I think it was, that character. So it's sort of biracial, but yeah, Kristen Bell's stepping down from her biracial character on the Apple TV Plus show, Central Park. Mm-hmm. Was going to voice something, some other character on the show. And they also just announced that Cleveland on Family Guy is going to be changing to an actual African-American actor.
Wow,
voice actor
is,
behind that.
Well, that's going to be hard to get used to.
Yeah.
That's a
like kind of the running joke about Cleveland is that he's actually very, very what's the phrase? Oreo-ish.
Milk toast.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's. And people are like getting outraged about it. It's like, dude, you've got 30 years of Simpsons if you want the old voices.
Yeah.
You got 20 years of Family Guy if you want that. Like, you don't...
Honestly, I'm just kind of glad the entertainment industry has decided to just stop listening to those people.
Yeah. And being able to step up and make the change instead of being like, well, we've got this guy that's been doing this. We know what to expect out of him. It's like, yeah, there's also plenty of other people out there.
Yeah, but maybe also casting new actors means you can write, you can step up your writing a little bit and maybe inject some much-needed creativity into a show that's kind of stagnated lately. So.
Yeah.
And that goes for both Simpsons and Family Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I can't remember the last time I watched a new Simpsons episode.
I haven't watched a new Simpsons episode in like a decade.
I'd say when they did the Here's How Homer Met Marge and it was... revolving around Homer being a big Nirvana fan. I was like, what the fuck?
The last time I watched The Simpsons was the movie. Like,
that movie was actually pretty good.
Yeah. That movie's like what? That was like over a decade ago?
15 years ago. Like 12, 13 years ago.
Oh my god, it was like
a
long time
ago. That was like
ago.
A 360 PS3 game early. Fairly early.
And also, for those of you who don't know now, Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda's famous Broadway piece, its official filmed version actually premiered on Disney Plus.
It's next Friday.
Yeah, next Friday.
July
3rd. He doesn't really give two fucks if it ends up getting a PG-13 rating. So
he has given two fucks.
Yeah.
Because it has three fucks in it, and he has censored two of them. For the sake of making sure it gets onto the service. So the two fucks that he has given for this, as he's described, is... let me see here real quick. In Yorktown, there's a mute over, I get the fuck back up again. And then there's the one that's where he says, Southern motherfucking Democratic Republicans. He does a record scratch over motherfucking. And then the last one, I think, is the... one where he's reading the letter about the
affair.
One
where he's reading one to Sam Adams, I think. Or is it the one to Burr? I can't remember.
I forget where he says fuck. Like,
yeah, it's the Adams.
The one that can't really be covered up because it's just too long.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything else is
I just have to
preserved.
Say that the record scratch bleep does not get enough love.
Yeah. It works. It works really well.
This is going to be coming out on Blu-ray too later this year, so I'm probably going to pick up that.
Yeah,
and he's also said, let's see, on July 3rd you're getting the whole show, every note and scene, and a 1 minute countdown clock during the intermission for bathroom. And yeah, also said you can sing whatever you like at home, even sync up the album. Love you, enjoy. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yep.
So he's, you know, it doesn't change the show to have these sensors.
Mm-hmm.
The show is one that people should watch if they haven't listened to anything, any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if you want the uncensored version, well, there's the album. Blu-ray will be out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the album you can listen to for a million times.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And finally, last news for the night, the new Christopher Nolan film, Tenet, is getting delayed again to mid-August because of the recent COVID-19 spikes.
Yeah, they were gone for July 31st, and now they push it another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's coming to theaters July 31st.
It was July 17th.
17th, and then they got moved again. And then,
mm-hmm.
So,
I was like, yeah, okay, sure. Just put it. Like, this is because Christopher Nolan wants the theater experience for it, because he's that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's also like nobody really knows what this movie is about anyway. I've seen three trailers
for this movie, and I still have no idea what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, I just know the guy can kind of reverse time. That's about it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the point of anything is, but it's like, I'll check it out, but wherever's safest, because it seems like the theaters, if they're going to do anything, like require a mask getting in, but I assume they're not going to police people, because they want to sell you food. Mm-hmm. You can't eat food if you have a mask on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Unless you're one of those people that cut a hole in your mask and then you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Enjoy your movie theater.
But those are probably the people they're most likely to get at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which will be interesting to see how theaters, what theaters have in their rotation. Because I could see like older films being ones that go back up.
Yeah. Well,
because right now, nothing's coming out.
Well, where my uncle lives, they've been doing old stuff like Back to the Future, Dracula, like 1931 Dracula or something. The Birds, he went and watched that. There's some animated stuff that they've been doing. It's hit or miss, and it's hard. That little town is having a hard time keeping that theater afloat right now.
Yeah.
So they're to the point where they're asking people, hey, we have the concession stand open all the time. Come and buy some popcorn.
If you're too lazy to make your own.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you drive 10 miles into town to go to Walmart to get your shit. They don't have popcorn there anymore. Yeah. So you have some popcorn and eat it on the way home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tenet, I'm actually looking forward to it because this is one of those. I mean, Christopher Nolan does like two types of movies: the really serious stuff, and then the batshit crazy stuff. And this is like one of the batshit crazy stuff.
Yeah, I think they're supposed to be doing a thing with Fortnite tonight, where they're playing Inception.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Which is kind of crazy, but cool.
Yeah. I'm not going to download Fortnite just to watch it.
Yeah, you probably already missed it at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And, all right. So I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
Indeed.
Yeah, all right. A 2.5-hour one. Wow.
Wow. How did that happen?
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. Anyway, so I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question or comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got it linked for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, you can basically find our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at just about any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. If we're not on there, just wait a few minutes. We will eventually. So I do believe that is going to be it for us this week. Would like to give a good thanks to Chris Loci, who ended up recording this show, I think, seriously for the first time. Phil, of course, is going to be leaving Smashpad.
Sunday. Well, technically the 1st of July, but you know, Sunday will be the last show.
And we will, of course, miss him. But, of course, he won't always be completely gone. He will still probably pop in every now and then if he so chooses.
When he gets bored.
Yeah. And considering where he lives, that might be often. But I say that, but he lives in Montreal. And I've heard places about things about that city.
Yeah. Well, I'm outside of Montreal, so it's not so bad. But
all right. Yeah. Anyway, so with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, 10-4, Felipe Donalfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Delogi, and Teresa Sammons. Good night. Sleep tight. Vote in November.
Yes.